Generally, we say if you want to get jhanas, you practice samatha meditation. Or sometimes we say samatha meditation leads to the attainment of jhanas. But not all kinds of samatha meditation lead to attainment of jhana. Now this is one which does not lead to attainment of jhana. And there were others we already have studied, like recollection of the Buddha, Dhamma, and so on. When a bhikkhu devotes himself to this perception of repulsiveness in nutriment, his mind retreats, retracts, and recoils from craving for flavors. He nourishes himself with nutriment without vanity and only for the purpose of crossing over suffering, as one who seeks to cross over the desert, his own dead child's flesh. Then his greed for the five courts of sense desire comes to be fully understood without difficulty through the means of the fully understanding of the physical nutriment. Now, full understanding or fully understanding or fully understood really means surmounting the desire. This word is used in the suttas many times. And the Pali word is parinya. We will find this word later on in the second part of the book, maybe towards the end of the book. So there are three kinds of full understanding: clearly understanding, and then deciding that they are impermanent, and so on. And the third one is abandoning, getting rid of, or overcoming. And in most cases, that meaning is what is meant whenever the word, the Pali word parinya or parinyata is used. So here, sense desire comes to be fully understood really means sense desire comes to be overcome or abandoned. Because when you really understand these, the food, then you will not have desire. I mean, attachment to food. You can, you will be able to get rid of attachments to food when you have understood it.
So when you understand this, you understand the repulsiveness makes you understand the error of desire. It doesn't. It's not repulsiveness itself that is being sought after. It's repulsiveness as an antidote to desire.
That's right. Yes. Because if we do not see repulsiveness, we will not be able to get rid of attachment.
But it's not that repulsiveness is the end or the aim of it. It's repulsiveness in order to free us from our attachment.
Mm-hmm, right. So to free us from attachment. That's right. So fully understands the materiality aggregate through the means of the full understanding of five courts of sense desire. So full understanding should be understood in the sense of overcoming or abandoning. Now the next one is defining of the elements, breaking down into elements, four great elements here. Herein, defining is determining by characterizing individual essence. The compound chatuddhatu vavatthana, four element defining, is resolvable into chatunang dhatunang vavatthana. So these are the grammatical explanation of the formation of words. And so, although it is included in the translation, it's not so important. So this meditation is given in two ways, in brief and in detail. So it is given in brief in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta. That is Sutta number 22 in the Long Discourses. And there it is given in brief. And in detail in the Mahahatthibhadhubhama Sutta. simile of the elephant footprint. That is in Majjhima Nikaya. And that is Majjhima Nikaya, Sutta number 28. And the Rahulowada Sutta, the advice given to his own son Rahula. And that is Majjhima Nikaya, Sutta number 62. And the Dhaduva Vibhanga Sutta, that is Majjhima Nikaya, Sutta number 140. So in these suttas, the four elements are treated in more detail. But in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta, it is very brief. So we come to text and commentary in brief. So this text is given in the Mahasatipatthana Sutta, the Four Foundations of Mindfulness Sutta. Bhikkhus, just as though a skilled butcher or butcher's apprentice had killed a cow and was seated at the crossroads with it cut up into pieces, so do bhikkhus. A bhikkhu reviews this body, however placed, however disposed, as consisting of elements. In this body there are the earth element, the water element, the fire element, and the air element. So this is what is taught in Mahasatipatthana Sutta. And then what meanings? And paragraph 30 gives us more understanding or explanation of this simile. The simile in the text is so short, without the help of this commentary, we will not understand the meaning intended there. So this explanation is very important. That means, maybe you may have read the paragraph. Until the cow is cut into pieces, the person cannot get rid of the notion that it is a cow. So when the cow was led to the slaughtering place, when it was slaughtered, still the person has a notion of a being or of a cow. Say, he may think to himself, I am taking the cow to the slaughtering, I am slaughtering the cow, and so on. But after it has been cut into pieces, then his notion of a cow disappears, and just the notion of pieces or just the notion of meat arises in him. So after that, he will be saying, they are carrying, I am selling meat, or they are carrying meat away and not cow. So in the same way, if we do not cut ourselves, I mean reduce ourselves to four elements, then we will still have the notion of being. When we have broken ourselves down into four elements, then we will lose the sense, I mean the sense of being. So this is the meaning intended in this simile. And in detail, that is in Mahahatibhadubhama Sutta, it is given in detail for one of not over quick understanding. So not so quick understanding, not so intelligent. So these people need a little explanation in detail. So whose meditation subject is elements. And as here also in the Rahulowada and Dhaduvamaga Sutras. So these three sutras have more or less the same passages and the same kind of explanation. So what is the internal earth element, friends? Now there are two kinds of earth element, internal and external. Only internal is shown here. So whatever there is internally in oneself that is hard, harsh and clung to, acquired through karma. Now, sometimes we want to make the meaning clear, so we put some words that are not in the original. And these very words, if they are not correct, lead us to misunderstanding. This is the case here. Now the Pali word is upadena. Upadena means grasped or clung to. But here, not clung to through karma, clung to by attachment, by grasping. So we should strike those three words out. That is hard, harsh, and clung to. And clung to really means existing in the living beings, not existing in outside things as rocks, earth, trees, and so on. Because here, the internal earth element is explained.
So how should it be now?
Pardon?
What there is internally in oneself that is...
That is hard.
Hard.
Something in us which is hard, which has the characteristic of hardness or softness and so on. We'll come to that later. And the 32 parts of the body are divided into earth elements and water elements. So we get the first 20 as earth elements. That's why that is to say head hairs, body hairs, and so on until what? Or whatever else there is internally in oneself that is hard, harsh, and clung to. This is called the earth element. So this is the definition of the earth element inside the living beings. And what is the internal water element, friends? Whatever there is internally in oneself that is water, watery, and clung to, that is to say bile, phlegm, and so on. And then the next is fire element. And there are four kinds of fire elements. Whatever that is internally in oneself, that is fire, fiery, clung to, that is to say, that whereby one is warmed, ages and burns up, and whereby what is eaten, drunk, chewed and tasted gets completely digested. Or whatever else there is internally in oneself, that is fire, fiery and clung to, this is called the internal fire element. Do you get four kinds of elements, fire elements, in this passage? You don't? Oh, you'll get it in paragraph 36. So here's the commentary on the words that are not clear. Internally in oneself. Both these words are terms of what is one's own. Niyaka. Since that is one's own is what is produced in one's own self and so on. And then there is an example taken from wall speech. I mean, that is... from the common usage of the people. Just as in the wall speech among women is called speech belonging to women, a dikti. This is a kind of compound. And here, actually, not among women or speech belonging to women, but speech or talk about women or concerning women. And that is called a deity in Pali. And here also the word, Pali word, ajjata, is dissolved into adhi and atta. And adhi and atta becomes ajjata according to Pali grammatical rules. So it is explaining this. But the word ajjata simply means internal. So if you understand it to mean internal, it is enough. And then hard, rigid, harsh, rough, and so on. So on page 383, line 3, clung to, taken firmly by karma. So we should strike out karma and put some other words. Craving, etc. So by craving, etc. Taken firmly by craving, etc. The meaning is firmly taken, seized, adhered to as I, mine. So with regard to this word, it's important, and many people made mistakes about this word, upadena. Because in Abhidhamma term, upadena means result of karma or caused by karma. So if let us say, a material property, a material quality is called upadena, it means that it is caused by karma. There is upadena rupa and anupadena rupa in Abhidhamma. So the word upadena normally means that which is taken or grasped by karma, and it simply means caused by karma. But here, or in many other passages, the word upadena means residing in the body. That means in the living beings, whether it is caused by karma or caused by consciousness or whatever, it is called upadena. And in Vinaya also, this word is used very much. Say, we differentiate, suppose monks are not to touch women. And what about touching in a statue of woman? A statue of woman is not upadena, while a living woman is upadena. So monks are not to touch living women. If they touch with sensual thoughts, then they incur a kind of offense. Now what about touching a statue? Touching a statue with lustful thoughts also incur an offense, but not as grave as touching a real woman. So this is always differentiated in Vinaya literature. So upadena and anupadena. Real living beings and non-living being and non-living things.
Question, but can you have internal
chetana? Chetana is always internal.
Chetana. But I was wondering, by the use of craving, instead of using karma, craving is not chetana. Craving is...
craving is attachment.
Chetana is...
chetana is karma, for volition.
Right.
Yes. But here, karma is not meant.
Right.
Because the four elements are said to be caused by all four causes. There are four causes of matter. Karma, citta, consciousness, and climate. Let's say climate or temperature, and food. So these are the four causes of matter taught in Abhidhamma. And the four elements are caused by all four causes, not by karma only. Therefore, here the Pali word upadena cannot mean karma, because they are caused by all four causes. And then, paragraph 34, the end of it, or whatever else, the earth element included in the remaining three portions. Remaining three portions means water, fire, and air elements. Not the remaining parts of the body, but the remaining elements. And then the explanation of the word apo in paragraph 35. And there, the last sentence. What is that? It is what has the water element's characteristic of cohesion. Now, these four elements are not necessarily, for example, when we say earth element, we do not necessarily mean the earth, but we mean the characteristic of earth. That means we mean some quality inherent in earth. and that is hardness or softness. So when we say earth element, we mean hardness or softness. When we say water element, we mean a cohesion or flowing or something. So the characteristic is itself the element. That is why I think we do not need the words what has here. What is that? It is the water element's characteristic of cohesion. So cohesion is water element. Because characteristic and something which has that characteristic are not differentiated in this case. The characteristic itself is the element. So,
getting back to the characteristic of earth element, then could we say it's texture?
Texture? I don't know, maybe not. Now, since we take the hardness or softness as the earth element is existent in water also, in fire also, because there is hardness or softness in water also. So hardness or softness does not reside in the earth only. In everything there is this hardness or softness, cohesion, temperature, and then distendedness or something. So these four elements are found everywhere. So what is that? It is the water element's characteristic of cohesion. Or this, simply put, it is the cohesion. Cohesion is water element is cohesion. Now fire, tejor, is definable as heating. Now, what is that? It is the characteristic of heat. So we should strike out what has two words here. Whereby, by means of which fire element, when excited really means when it is disturbed, when it becomes abnormal. This body is warmed, that means heated, becomes heated by the state of one day fever and so on. When you have fever lasting for one day and then disappearing, and the next day and the next day appearing again and so on. So warmed is one, by which this body is warmed, and then by which this body ages, whereby this body grows old, reaches the decline of the faculties, loss of strength, wrinkles, grayness, and so on. And then burns up, whereby when excited it causes this body to burn. And the person cries that I am burning, I am burning. That means when you have high fever, so very high fever, you think you are burning inside. So longs for ghee, 100 times washed, and for gauzes or sandalwood ointment, etc. So sandalwood ointment is said to be cold, and so that is why especially women use the sandalwood paste on their body. And whereby what is eaten, drunk, chewed, and tasted gets completely digested, whereby the boiled rice, etc., that is eaten, or the beverage, etc., that is drunk, or the hard food consisting of four biscuits, flour biscuits, etc., that is chewed, the mango fruit, the ripe mango fruit, honey, molasses, etc., that is tasted. I think I've told you about this word in Pali. Actually, not just tasting. Here, tasting means licking with your tongue and then enjoying the taste. Now, when we eat honey and molasses, we put it on our mouth, on our tongue, and then let it dissolve slowly, right? It is how we eat honey or molasses, and maybe also the ripe mango fruit. Ripe mango fruit is very soft. And so you put a piece of ripe mango fruit on your tongue, and then it will dissolve by itself. So there are four kinds of food we eat, and that is eat, and that is what is eaten, what is drunk, that means liquid, what is chewed, hard food, and what is tasted or what is licked. These are the four kinds of food. Gets its juice, etc., extracted is the meaning. Now, sometimes you need to have a knowledge of Ayurveda to understand some kind of explanations in the commentaries. Now, in the Indian medicine books, it is stated that if food is properly digested, then it becomes seven kinds of elements in the body. And the Pali word rasa is one of them, one of the seven elements. And here that is translated as its juice, gets its juice, etc., extracted. Actually, there are seven kinds of these that are in our body. Say blood, flesh, fat, bone marrow, and semen. And then the other one is called rasa. See, H-Y-L-E, it is pronounced Kyle. Please look it up in the dictionary. So the first one, rasa, which is translated juice here, is translated as chyle in one Sanskrit English dictionary, chyle. It is some kind of juice or liquid. Which is produced in the body when food is well digested. So when it is digested by the heat of the body, then the food we eat becomes these seven kinds of things in our body. And here the first three kinds of fire element, that is to say, is warmed, ages, and burns up, are of fourfold origin, that is, caused by four causes, while the last is only karma originated. The last one is originated by karma, that is, digestion fire. We call it digestion fire, and it is said to be caused by karma. Not everybody has the same digestion. Some have good digestion and some have bad digestion, and so that is caused by karma. The others are caused by all four causes. Now, four kinds of fire element. The element by which the body is warmed, and then by which the body ages, and by which the body burns up, and by which what is eaten and so on gets completely digested. So they are the four kinds of fire element. And then the air element, there are six kinds of them, six kind of it. And what is that? It is the characteristic of what do you have there? Destination. Distinction?
Distension.
Distension? Ah, that's correct. But in my book, it is destination.
Yeah, mine has mine as destination.
But if you read the footnote, you know that, right? Footnote number 24. Distension. So it is a characteristic of distension. And there are six kinds of air element. Upgoing winds. downgoing winds, they are in the body. Winds in the belly, winds in the bowels, and winds that course through all the limbs. These, and then in-breath and out-breath. How many? Six or seven? Upgoing, downgoing, in the belly, in the bowels, in all limbs, in-breath and out-breath, seven. But in-breath and out-breath are taken as one. So there are six kinds of wind element. Now, method of development in brief, and that is the head hairs are the earth element, the body hairs are the earth element, and so on. So you practice this meditation with along with the meditation on 32 parts of the body. And then suppose two bhikkhus are reciting a text with many elaborate repetitions and so on. That is the explanation of how one method of development appears to one monk as redundant and the same thing to the other as not enough, something like that. So when we recite sodas, there are many repetitions, and when we do not want to say the repetitions, we use what is called piyala in Pali, elided repetitions. Suppose we want to say, iti piso bhagava araham sama sambuddho vijja charana sampanno, and so on. The last word is bhagava. Now, if we have to say it again and again, we avoid saying it again and again by just saying iti piso pe bhagava. So the word pe put in between is something like the three dots in English. So iti piso pe bhagava, iti piso pe bhagava. So
when we do that, we say until. In the Heart Sutra every
morning. Yes, yeah.
Until. Instead of repeating the whole list, you start at the beginning of the list and then say until.
That's
and
right. That is unusual in the Heart Sutra. Because in Pali Sutras, we use the word that pre instead of until. It's okay. Then, in this paragraph, after which he goes on doing the recital with only the two end parts. You see that? Two end parts means beginning and the end. Here, end does not mean the end. End means the beginning and the end, because it is the edge on this side and edge on that side. So, two end parts mean just the beginning and the end. You just say the beginning and the end, and you put a pre or something in between. And then the others are not so difficult to understand, and I think all of them. And then with constituent in brief, that is, in 20 of the parts, he defined as the mode, the stiffened mode, that means stiffness, hardness, is the earth element, and so on. So with regard to head hairs, he will say the hardness in the head hair is the earth element. The cohesiveness in the heart hair is water element, and so on. He defines that way. So in the four parts, what matures is the fire element. In four parts means the four kinds of fire element, and in six parts means six kinds of wind element. And then with constituents by analysis, here the bhikkhu should carry out all the directions given for the 32-fold aspect in the description of mindfulness occupied with the body as a meditation subject. So he must practice as described in that chapter. And then at the end, he must add something. So the only difference is this. There, after giving attention to the head, hairs, etc., as to color, shape, direction, location, and delimitation, the mind had to be fixed by means of repulsiveness. That means he must try to get the notion of repulsiveness there. And he stops there. Say, head hair, body hair, by way of location, by way of shape and so on, they are repulsive. But here in this meditation, you do not stop there. But at the end of each part, after giving attention to head hairs, etc., each in the five ways beginning with the color, attention should be given as follows. That means here the hairs grow on the outer skin of the head, and the skin doesn't know that the hairs are growing on me, and the hairs don't know that we are growing on the skin, and so on. So you have to contemplate that way, and that is the contemplation of the or defining of the four element meditation. So if you stop just at repulsiveness, then you are doing the other contemplation on the body departs. You do that, and then you go on saying they don't know each other. And you go through all the 32 parts that way. So they are not difficult to understand. All the way to on page 392, paragraph 69, at the end of paragraph, so what is called bile is a particular component of this body, without thought, indeterminate, void, not a living being, liquid. I would like to there to be a comma, liquid. And then water element, comma, and the word in should go. So it would read, void, not a living being, liquid, water element, the mode of cohesion. Water element and the mode of cohesion are the same. And this sentence recurs in other paragraphs too. So you have to correct all. And then paragraph 81. That whereby one is one, this is a particular component of this body without thought, indeterminate, void, not a living being, there should be a comma, and we'll strike out it is. So not a living being, fire element, comma, the mode of maturing. So we should strike out in. The same with a little down. Without thought, indeterminate, void, not a living being, fire element, the mode of maturing. End of paragraph 81. And in paragraph 82, lower down, without thought, indeterminate, void, not a living being, comma, air element, comma, the mode of distending. And then the end of paragraph, the same. So, without thought, indeterminate means neither kusala nor akusala. Because the four elements belong to rupa, and rupa is classified as abhyagata, neither kusala nor akusala. Now, in the first chapter of Abhidhamma, the dhammas are classified as kusala, akusala, and neither. So kusala means kusala chetas, and they are concomitants. Akusala means akusala cheta and concomitants. Then Neither means neither kusala nor akusala. So that covers all, the remaining all. That is, resultant chetas, functional chetas, rupa and nibbana. So when it is said here, indeterminate, it means that. Neither kusala nor akusala. Okay. So, next week, up to, let me see, something about the paragraph, up to about 420.
From 396?
Yes.
Would you like some water?
No, thank you.